Prophecies of Hope presents Bible Answers, and welcome to our program. My name is Mark Martin.
And I'm Ed Short. I was reading my Bible, I'm sorry.
Ed was asleep. No, he was actually looking at his computer. So, Ed is here today.
I am.
Sorry for the delay, that is so funny. And we want to welcome you all to the program. Hopefully you're hearing what we're saying. And you're not... Well, if you're reading your Bible, that's a good thing, right?
Well, we had talked about what we were going to do. I was looking at the review of Romans 5, and I wasn't listening. I was reading.
I even said to him right before I said, are we ready? He said, we're ready.
Wow.
That's something how our brains can do, isn't it? Yeah. But anyway, it's just, that's the human side. That's who we are, friends. We get to carrying on, and we forget things sometimes, yeah. Don't we? But first of all, we just want to thank Ray Powers for allowing us to be here. We're here every Sunday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, USA.
Yes.
And sometimes we delay a little bit. But no, we're really glad that you're with us this evening. And we're going to continue today in Romans 6. And I think that's what you were thinking about. You were doing your review of Romans 5.
Yeah.
But before we get started, Ed, if you could tell us a little bit about Prophecies of Hope.
Sure. Prophecies of Hope is just a really tiny ministry in Stanton, Virginia. We've been around since 2012. We have a Bible study on Wednesday evenings that's available via Zoom if you're interested. Or we have a church service on the Sabbath, which is Saturday, the mm-hmm. seventh day of the week. Mm-hmm. And we have a Bible study at 9:30. Via Zoom, as well as streamed live online, and we have a church service, our worship hour at 11, which is streamed online.
Streamed,
as well.
Yeah, at prophecyhope.com. That's the website, and on that website you will find a number of sermons, and you will find some of these radio programs archived.
Yes.
We don't have any from this year yet, but I hope to get that started here soon, and also. On the website, we have some older newsletters. I actually have started working on one.
Well, good.
Yeah, I started that last night.
All right.
And I've started working on one a little bit, and we're going to try to get back in the routine of maybe once a quarter we can release a newsletter. I think that would be a good thing to do. Also, as far as Prophecies of Hope, if you want to get in touch with me, you can reach me at mark@prophecyhope.com.
And Ed@prophecyhope.com.
That's how you reach Ed. If you can't remember our names, you can send an email to office@prophecyhope.com. But, you know, we're here, as I mentioned, we're here every Sunday on New Visions Radio, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm going back because we had such a laugh at the first part of this. But and two, we don't want to minimize Ray Powers and the work that he does. You know, he has a lot of things going on, but he keeps us on the air week after week. And we've been here for a long time, and we're grateful for that.
All right. He fills in for us when we're gone?
Yeah, he keeps our program in rotation so that if we're not here, you still have something to listen to. And not the silence of Ed reading his Bible.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, we start every program with a word of prayer. And before we begin this study, Ed, would you pray for us, please?
Sure. Let's go ahead and bow our heads. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for your word, the Bible, and there's such beautiful information of the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, salvation through your Son. And Father, as we study this book of Romans, open up to the truth of your word to us. Give us wisdom and knowledge to understand what we're studying. Guide us by the Spirit of truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Ed, I would like to just, I didn't mention this to you before we started here this evening, but I wanted to say something because last week I said something, and I love the way you corrected it using the Bible. And I said, we're saved by faith.
Right.
And what does the Bible actually say? Does it say
that? That's a common thing you hear in Christianity, but that's not an accurate statement. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says we're saved by grace through faith.
That's so important.
Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, I believe.
And so, you see, I had read that. But until you pointed that out to me last week, it never sank in on me.
And, you know, truthfully, I get that from Rick.
Yeah.
He's the one that pointed it out to me.
Wow. You know, isn't it amazing how those things, I mean, I've said it over and over. Yeah, I'm saved by faith in Jesus Christ. But it's by his grace that we're saved. It's amazing. Through our faith in him. So I thought that was a neat thing to start off with, you know, just to let people know that, you know, words mean things. Mm-hmm. When we read the Bible, a lot of times we read these passages and we go, just like I was, on what I have been taught and what I had heard all of my life.
Something sounds good. Something sounds familiar, like we were having a conversation early about a devotional somebody sent. And I missed the words on the page. You saw them and you addressed them.
Yeah, so it's important that when we read the Bible, and Ed, you pray this often, help us to read the words on the page.
Right.
And so as we study through these things, friends, I know I've said this a number of times, especially lately, open your Bible and read along with us, because we may miss something. And we look forward to, we want to be corrected when we're wrong in understanding God's Word. That's what draws us closer to him.
Right.
That's what gives us the message. So we're going to go back to do a review.
Let's just do a simple review of Romans chapter 5. We're just going to read verses 6 through 10. And Mark, can you read that for us, please?
Sure. Romans 5, I'm reading from the New King James Bible, verses 6 through 10. It says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life."
Yeah, I hope people are actually hearing the words on the page, because this tells me that Christ came to die for me while I was still a sinner.
Yes, before you knew who he was.
Yeah.
He died for you for all of humanity, before we were even born.
You know, so often people have this misperception of salvation, that I have to reach a certain standard, a certain relationship with God and his Son before I can be saved. Mm. But that's not right. I want to take you to a verse in Matthew.
Okay.
Matthew chapter 9.
All right.
And I'm just going to read a few verses. It's going to be verses 9 through 13 of Matthew 9. And again, this is the modern King James Version. I use that most of the time. Verse 9, "And as Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, 'Follow me.' And he arose and followed him. And it happened, as Jesus reclined in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw, they said to his disciples, 'Why does your master eat with tax collectors and sinners?' Mm. But when Jesus heard, he said to them, 'The ones who are whole do not need a physician, but the ones who are sick. But go and learn what this is: I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.'"
Mm. Wow, what an illustration, because if I'm not sick, I don't go to the doctor to get well.
No.
I might go for a checkup.
Right.
Right? To make sure that there's no problems. And really, that's what Jesus is saying here. You don't, the ones who are not living in sin, they have no need of repentance.
Right.
But
they have no need of a Savior.
Right. But who has not sinned?
Right. There's no one on this earth.
Only one that has lived on this earth that never sinned.
Right. Because the Bible says in Romans, I think it's 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Yes. And so this is an important text. And honestly, you know, we're told in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, not to forsake the gathering of ourselves.
Right.
So that's like the checkup, right?
Yeah.
That's to make sure we can stay healthy in a spiritual way, that we have that fellowship with our brothers and sisters.
Yeah, let me tell you what Paul says about this issue.
Okay.
The very author of Romans here, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, I want to read verses 15 and 16. It says, "Faithful is the word and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." Paul, the one that wrote Romans that we're studying. "But for this cause I have obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, as a pattern to those being about to be delivered, about to believe on him to life everlasting."
So Paul,
Paul's using himself as an example.
Yeah, he recognizes the need for Jesus Christ.
Right.
And that's what we need to do.
And he considers himself chief of all sinners because he was persecuting the church of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, he surely was. He surely was. And he talks about that. We'll see some of that as we continue the study,
yes.
Won't we?
So let's continue on in verses 9 and 10 of Romans 5.
Okay.
It says that we're justified by his blood, and we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, talking about being sinners, not obedient to God, because sin is disobedience to God,
right,
we were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. So there's two things that happen here. By his death, we were reconciled to God. We were put in a right relationship again because our sins have been forgiven. But now what? I still have life to live. I still am in this world. Satan is still alive and well,
yes,
trying to tempt everyone to bring them into a life of sin. So notice it says, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
Yes.
And so let's turn to Romans 6 and read about what this is talking about,
okay,
being saved by his life.
Yeah, because all of my life I misunderstood that text.
Yeah.
So now we'll understand it better by reading Romans 6.
Right. We're actually looking at the words on the page.
Yes. Okay. Very good.
So, Mark, I'm going to ask you to read Romans 6, 1 through 14.
All right. Here we go. Romans chapter 6. "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life."
Can I stop you there?
Sure.
Is that what Jesus meant in John 3 about being born again?
Yes, it is. John chapter 3,
yeah,
when he was talking to Nicodemus.
Right.
And so he's talking about laying down our old ways, right? And being born into a new way of life.
Within Christ Jesus.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it's talking about. And it continues here, doesn't it?
Okay, yes.
So continuing in verse 5, it says, "For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lusts. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace."
So this is a beautiful part of the gospel. And it talks about baptism, being born again, as Jesus talked to Nicodemus about. Verse 3, or actually verse 2. "How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Think about that.
Yeah.
How, if you die to sin, how do you live any longer? You know, yeah. why do we as Christians, often the Christian church talks about, okay, I've been baptized, I'm good now, I can go live my life however I want. Doesn't matter because right. I'm saved.
Right.
I've heard that so often.
I have too.
But that's not what it's talking about.
No. It's talking about a change of lifestyle, yes. isn't it? Not that I can continue living the way I do because Jesus died for me.
Right.
I have to change.
That's why we need to be saved by his life. We're reconciled to God by his death, but we're saved by his life.
Mm.
Verse 3 of Romans 6 says, do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Notice we're baptized into Jesus mm-hmm. Christ.
That's right.
Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism to death, so that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life.
Mm.
Being born again, a new way of living, a new way of life.
Yes. Ed, this goes back to what I said about misunderstanding the saved by his life
yes.
part. So, you know, we're not only saved by the life that Jesus lived when he was here, but the life that he lives now.
Yes.
And that's what this is telling us.
Let me give you another text that talks about this in Galatians chapter 3.
Okay.
Talked about being baptized into Christ. I want to read verses 27 through 29. And again, this is the Modern King James Version. For as many as were baptized into Christ, you put on Christ. There cannot be Jew nor Greek, neither is there bond or free, neither there's male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
Mm.
So when we're baptized into Christ, we're putting on Christ.
Yes. And, you know, we've talked in the past about putting on the spiritual armor. And that's living in Christ Jesus. All of those parts of that armor are putting on Christ in some way or another, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's in Ephesians 6, I believe. Is that right?
So let's go to another text talking about being born again.
Okay.
I want to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5.
Okay.
And I'm going to be reading verses 14 through 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 14 through 21. Again, the Modern King James Version, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrains us, judging this, that if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all, that the living ones may live no more to themselves, but to him who died for them and having been raised. So as we now know, no one according to the flesh, but even if we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we no longer know him so. So that if anyone is in Christ, that one is a new creature. Mm. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation, wherein God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and putting the word of reconciliation in us. Then we are ambassadors on behalf of Christ. As God exhorting through us, we beseech you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
Mm.
For he has made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him.
You know, Ed, let's not misunderstand this. This isn't talking about at the resurrection.
Right.
This is talking about we can have this now.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Being a new creature.
Yes.
Old things have passed away.
Yes.
All things become new.
Yeah. And I think that for a lot of people, they look at this and say, well, that's a future time. But this is talking about today.
Right.
We can have this now.
You know, Romans 6:6 talks about that our old man is crucified with him,
mm-hmm.
with Christ, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed. That from now on we should not serve sin. There's another text where Paul talks about this in Ephesians 4.
Okay.
And I want to look at Ephesians 4, 22 and through 24 at least.
Okay.
And maybe a little bit farther. Again, this is the Modern King James, Ephesians 4, 22. For you ought to put off the old man, according to your way of living before, who is corrupt according to deceitful lust, to be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you should put on the new man, who according to God was created in righteousness and true holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Each man speak truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, so that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let not any filthy words go out of your mouth, but if anything is good to building up in respect of need, that it may give peace to the ones hearing. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed until the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and tumult and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. So this is what it means by the old man being crucified with Christ.
Yes.
That the body of sin might be destroyed.
And, you know, we might look at this and say, how can I do that? I mean, how do I get to this point to where I let not a corrupt word proceed from my mouth, to where I don't think these things, that I don't do these things?
Well, that's an excellent question. It's being real about the life that we now live.
Yeah.
In this world we live in. You know, I guess the first part of an answer for that is looking at what Hebrews tells us about the life of Christ on this earth.
Okay.
Hebrews 4, verse 15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as we are, yet without sin." It says, "Therefore, let us boldly come to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." So there's help available through Jesus Christ when we're tempted.
Because he has experienced what we have experienced.
Right. You know, Hebrews 2 also talks about this.
Okay.
If we look at verses 9 through 18, do you mind reading this?
No, not at all. Hebrews chapter 2,
yeah,
verses 9 through 18, New King James Version.
And so, folks, just to know, this isn't scripted. We're just going as we're talking along and sharing God's Word.
Absolutely. Yeah, and these are things that we have studied in the past,
yes,
and we're just sharing them with you.
Right.
And there's no particular order.
Whatever comes to mind.
Exactly. Oh. So beginning in verse 9, right?
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 2. It says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering."
Let's talk about this a second.
Okay.
These two verses are talking about when Jesus came to this earth to experience life as we experience it. You notice what it says in verse 10, to perfect the captain of their salvation through sufferings.
So what we're saying is Jesus had to learn what it was like to be like us.
To experience humanity.
Right.
So he could later on help us as our advocate, our intercessor, our mediator,
yes,
our comforter.
So he left his heavenly home as God's son to come here and become the son of man and also the son of God.
Yes. To experience what we experienced, to show that there was a way to overcome sin, because he overcame sin because he put his trust in his Father. He came to do the will of his Father, which we'll see here in a few verses.
Yeah, he took on our infirmities, didn't he? He took on our nature.
Right.
And he overcame by the Spirit of his Father.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's so important that we understand those things.
Right.
Because we can't do this on our own.
No, it's only through Christ.
Yes. Where am I picking up? Verse 11, I think it is.
Yes, verse 11.
"For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly I will sing praise to you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. So there it is.
Yes.
That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted.
You know, this tells us in verse 14 that Jesus came in the flesh of blood that humanity is created out of.
Yes.
He partook of the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Verse 16, my Bible says something a little different than yours. It says, for truly he did not take the nature of angels, but he took hold of the seed of Abraham.
I like that better.
The seed of Abraham, having the nature of the human race through Abraham.
Is yeah.
The seed of Abraham.
You know, and that makes a lot more sense.
Right.
Because Jesus being the Son of God, he's divinity.
Right.
But so he didn't take on the nature of the angels as we understand it. He took on our nature, the seed of Abraham.
For this purpose, look at verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, having been tempted, he is able to rescue those who are being tempted. So this offers great hope in my life.
It absolutely does.
So this is kind of what we're talking about, of being born again, being born into a new life in Christ. We're buried with Christ as we die to sin.
Amen.
Buried with baptism, we're raised into a new life with him.
And that's what we read in Romans.
Yeah.
That's what we were reading in Romans chapter 6.
You know, verses 10 and 11 says of Romans 6, for in that he died to sin once, but in that he lives to God. Verse 11 says, likewise, count yourselves to be truly dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Hmm.
Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but yield yourself to God as one alive from the dead, that new life being born again, as members and instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. Isn't that good news? Sin shall not have dominion over you.
It's tremendous. And the thing is, this is a choice that we have to make.
Yes, we can accept the gift of his death and the life that he now wants to live within.
Yes, and so I think a lot of people think that just because Jesus died, this stuff has happened. But if I'm still living according to the flesh, according to the ways that I've lived in my past,
right,
then that shows that I'm not accepting the gift that Christ has given me.
Right. I go back to that song by Stephen Curtis Chapman, mm-hmm. What About the Change?
Right. There has to
what
be
about
change.
The difference in my life? Yeah, I would go to church. I bring my Bible with me. It's got my name on it. I've got a Jesus bumper sticker on my car. I wear a necklace with a cross on it. I've got a What Would Jesus Do bracelet on. Mm. But what about the change that happens when you know Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
What about the difference?
And that's what Romans is pointing out. That's what we're seeing here.
Right.
And this is, again, this is a choice that we have to make.
And sometimes a daily choice, sometimes a moment-by-moment choice.
Absolutely.
As Satan is tempting you.
Very true, very true. And so, you know, when things come up in our life and we're feeling the pressure, pray about it.
Yes.
Pray about it, immediately pray about it. And it might be something that you really in your heart desire to do that you know is against God's will. Ask him to help you to hate this sin.
Yes.
That's a hard prayer to pray when you enjoy doing something.
Right.
You know? But it's something, if you ask God to help you to overcome whatever it is that's going to keep you from having a relationship with Him, this is so important that we do that.
Right. Let's talk about this verse 14, because sure. some people misread it, and they just take this verse out of the context of Romans 6. So let me read verses 14 and 15 together. It says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace." So see, Mark, we don't have to obey God's law.
That's what a lot of people say when they read that verse.
Well, let's read verse 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Let it not be." You see, Paul's not saying the law is done away with.
Right.
He says that when you're under grace, when you're under the influence of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of His Son, Jesus Christ, you have the fruit of that Spirit.
That's it.
You're not walking in the flesh anymore. You're walking in the Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, faith, meekness, kindness, goodness.
Self-control.
Yes.
Yeah.
Against these, there's no law against doing these things.
That's right.
So we make a choice. Let's keep reading.
Sure.
Can you continue with verse 15 through the end of the chapter?
I will try to do so. I've been clearing my throat a lot here this evening. But let's, verse 15, Romans chapter 6. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey? Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves of uncleanness and of lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness for holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord."
So being born again, being saved by the life of Christ, is talking about being made free from sin.
Yes.
And we became slaves or servants of righteousness, servants of God.
Yeah. It says in verse 16, it says, "You are that one slaves whom you obey."
Yes.
So if I'm a slave to sin, I'm obeying the devil.
Right. Exactly.
But if I'm a slave to righteousness, I'm doing the things of God, the things that Christ would do, the law.
Yes.
He talks about obedience here. That's a bad word today. People don't like that word.
You know, I wish people would see the beauty of God's law.
Mm.
The protection, the hedge that's been put around us through obedience to God's law to keep us from sin, to keep us from experiencing the consequences, the pain and hurt of sin in our lives.
That's right, because the wages of sin is death.
Yes.
So if I'm doing these things and I haven't repented from them, the eventuality is eternal death. But if I've repented and I'm accepting Christ, then what's the reward? Eternal life in Christ Jesus.
Let's go to 1 John chapter 3 just for a moment.
Sure.
I want to read verses 1 through, I'm not sure where I'm going to stop. But I think it's important we clarify what sin is.
Okay.
Verse 1 of 1 John chapter 3. "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not." This is the King James Version, by the way.
Okay.
"Behold, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Hmm. Does it make it clear what sin is?
Yes.
It's disobedience
to God's law.
It's breaking
God's law, yeah.
Verse 5, and ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whoever sinneth has not seen him, neither know him. Hmm. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither is he that loveth not his brother. So is that pretty clear?
It's very clear. You know, it mentions there in that last verse you read, love. And that's really what the law is about.
Yes, love to God and love to our,
that's it.
Our neighbor, our brother, our each other.
Right. So this is really important. Were you going to continue there?
I wasn't, but you can go ahead.
Well, it goes back to Cain. It goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden.
All right, show us that.
Yeah, it says here, this is the message that you've heard. This is verse 11, from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then it likens it to Cain. It gives us a contrast, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. So that's a commandment.
Yes.
You shall not kill.
Right.
He broke a commandment of God, showing a lack of love. You see? And then he says, and why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. So it's giving us the contrast. You can do the law of God, which is righteous, which is love, or you can do the law in yourself, which we're born sinners.
Yes.
So we're born in an unrighteous state.
Yes.
We weren't created righteous as Adam and Eve were, but through the blood of Christ, we're recreated or born again as righteous.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, what we're really talking about, this idea of Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
You know, I can hear people thinking in their mind or saying out loud, get real.
Yeah, I know. That's what people think when they read this.
This can't happen. How can I become obedient to God? How can I live my life without sin? But this is what the Bible says. We just read it in 1 John.
Yeah.
How can that be real? Well, you know, I want to let people know that the Apostle Paul was real about life.
Yes, he was.
He was real about his past experience persecuting the Christian church, and he was real about his present experience, as we're reading in Romans, of his life in Christ. Mm. So I want to share a few things of what Paul said in Galatians chapter 2.
Okay.
And then we'll get to Romans 7 eventually, where Paul is really real about life and the experience of this life that we live.
So what we're doing here is we're making practical application of these things that we just read that seem impossible, right?
Yes.
They seem impossible.
Right. So I can't do it on my own.
And
no
I
one can.
And I can't.
Yeah.
That's true.
I'd like to have you read Galatians 2, verses 15 to the end of the chapter.
All right. And I'm reading this from the New King James. I know I've said this before, but there is a word that I am going to change, because in the Authorized King James, that's the way it reads.
Right.
And that's what's there in the Greek.
Right.
Okay? So if you're following along in the New King James, you will see that word. And let's see, it's you said 14 or 15?
15.
15 through the end of the chapter, yes. Galatians 2. We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowledge that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is Christ therefore a minister of sin? Certainly not. For if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, died to the law that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain.
If we could keep the law, there would be no need to have a Savior.
Exactly.
Because we wouldn't be sinning.
That's right.
But it's by the grace of God, this great gift he's given us through his Son, not only his death on the cross, which covers our sins, cleanses us from sins, but his life that now he now wants to live us to enable us to overcome sin in our lives.
Which is what you reviewed in Romans chapter 5, verse 10.
Yes.
Which says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life.
We're saved by the life of Christ.
Right.
We're reconciled by his death, but we're saved by his life. Some people might use the words justification and sanctification.
Yes.
That justification is the fact that we're justified before God by the death of his Son, which allows us to come before God because he has forgiven us of our sins because of the blood of Christ.
Right.
But we still have a life to live.
Yes.
And this is the sanctification. This is being saved by the life of Christ. This is the change in one's life, being born again, a new life.
Yeah, the word sanctification means to be made holy.
Yeah.
So how can I say that I'm being made holy if I'm continuing to live according to my flesh?
Right.
So the only way that I can be made holy is by what Christ is doing and has done. That's the only way.
Believe me, friends that are listening, Mark and I experience the same life you do.
Absolutely, we do. Same temptations,
same challenges.
I'll just tell you, one thing that there's a couple of things that really anger me, and one of them is when I'm on the highway and I'm behind somebody that's going really slow and I want to get somewhere.
Yeah.
And I need to work on that.
Yeah.
Or when I'm at the checkout line, you know, and somebody's just, they're moping along. It sounds like I'm always in a hurry, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then the other thing is there are things that, you know, whether you're on your computer, you might be watching a wholesome YouTube video, and what happens? Something suggestive pops up on the screen.
Right.
And it causes thoughts
that
we shouldn't have. So these things pop up to everybody. The devil's consistently trying to mislead us. But Christ can help us to overcome those temptations. He can make it to where I don't even look at that any longer. I don't even, when I see it, it makes me want to turn away.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful that God has given that to me. I never thought that I would get to the point to where certain things would just make me think, that's horrible.
Yeah. Now, no one here is claiming to be perfect.
No, not at all. That's my point. I still think things that I shouldn't think.
Right. But we are on an experience with Jesus Christ in a relationship where we can see him working in our lives, helping us to overcome sin in our lives. And when I turn to Christ for help in my time of need, that's when I have victory in my life.
Mm.
When I don't do that, then it's really likely that I'm going to fall.
So there's a couple of ways that maybe we could give just a couple of suggestions. How do we get to that point to where I want to give my life to Christ? I think one way is by prayer.
Yes.
You know, when we start this program, we open with prayer.
Yes.
And we ask to be directed by the Spirit of God, and we close with prayer.
Right. In personal prayer, just simply be honest with God about where you're at, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing.
Yeah.
Be honest about, I really want to do this. But I know it's against your law. Help me to overcome this. Give me the power to overcome. You know, I think there's an experience that we all need to experience in overcoming sin in our lives versus saying to God, just take it out of my life. Don't let me want that anymore. Hmm. I think there's power in overcoming, learning that experience.
Almost like exercise.
Yes.
It's a conditioning.
Yes.
And it makes you healthier, doesn't it?
Yes.
If you can overcome something naturally. So if I can do it through the experience that God has put before me, or maybe even the devil has put something before me,
right.
And God can use that as an opportunity to strengthen me to where I can overcome that, just like exercise strengthens me. Right?
Remember, God is trying to prepare us for eternal life.
Amen.
And with eternal life, there's not going to be any sin or sinners.
Right. So what better time to overcome?
Yes.
Right now.
Right.
And the other thing, you know, I was thinking about this conditioning and about the things that the temptations that come up. I think it's really important that as we live our lives and these things pop up, we need to have interaction with others that have things in common as far as our Christian walk.
Yes, they want to accomplish the same things in their life. They want
yes.
to have Christ, you know, be in them, want to be directed by God, the will of God done in your life.
So the associates that we choose is very important.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean that you cut off people that you've always had contact with, but introduce other people into your life that maybe want to walk with Christ.
Right.
And the other thing, try this for a little while. Try to make it a habit to open your Bible once a day.
Yeah.
If you're not doing it at all, once a day, whether it's in the morning, just open it and read a few verses. Open to one of the Gospels. You know, maybe start in the book of John.
Take your time reading the verses. Don't try to speed through a chapter.
Right.
Pay attention to the words on the page. Even if you read two verses and look and try to understand what it's saying and compare it to the rest of the Bible, take the time to do that. You'll gain benefit from it versus simply reading something to say, oh, okay, I read it.
Right. How many of us have read John 3:16? We can cite it, we quote it, we know what it says.
Right.
But when you read the words on the page,
on the context
it's
written,
it's amazing yeah. how many other texts go along with it.
Yeah.
And so what we're trying to do is give you a practical way that you can start this journey.
Yes.
And start that relationship with Christ and start right. that relationship with His Father. Because I will tell you that even if you read just a couple of verses a day, you might read it and say, I don't understand this. If you don't, ask about it.
Yeah,
talk to
ask
people
for
about
understanding.
It.
There's a promise in James chapter 1. If you lack wisdom or knowledge, ask God for it, and He'll
Amen.
Give it to you liberally.
Amen. He will. And, you know, if you have a question, again, you can send that in. We may not have the answer, but we're going to try to give you the Bible answer.
Right.
We're going to look up verses that have to do with that topic.
People in the Christian world have learned things that are not of God's Word, which we've been talking
That's
about
happened
today.
To me.
And so I would suggest you always go to God's Word. That's what we try to do. When we try to answer questions, it's not according to our own thoughts, our own doctrines, our own beliefs, but what does the Bible actually say?
Amen.
There's safety in that.
It is. And I have to say that it's difficult because every one of us, even if we've had a church background or not, we're a product of our environment.
Right.
And we go by what we've been taught.
Mm-hmm.
So laying those things aside and just trying to get a fresh start can be really difficult.
Right.
But again, you can pray about that.
Yeah, and God will guide you. Believe me, I've experienced this so much in my life, asking for wisdom and knowledge before we open the Word of God, for the Spirit of truth to guide you into all truth.
Mm.
And look to the Bible to see what it has. If you really want to know what the Bible has to say, you can see the words on the page. If you're opening the Bible to try to prove something, prove yourself right, prove someone else wrong, prove a doctrine that your church teaches, then you're probably going to miss some things.
Mm. Yeah, you're sure to miss something. And, you know, the prayer, Jesus said a number of times to His disciples, do not be deceived.
Yeah.
So I think it's important to pray.
Sure, pray
that you
prayer.
Not be deceived.
Yeah.
You know, pray and ask for understanding, for clarity, for
yeah.
wisdom in understanding these things. So where were we here?
We're just about to start Romans 7.
Okay, all right. Yeah, did we finish out? Yeah, we did finish out the chapter. We finished with the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yeah, basically the last half of Romans 6 is saying make a choice.
Yeah.
Make a choice who you're going to serve. You're going to serve sin and the end result is death, or are you going to serve God and his righteousness? And then the result is everlasting life.
And the thing is, I want you to understand, too, that when we read these texts, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, and he's talking to the Romans, but he recognizes, look, there's the things that you've suffered, I've suffered through, too.
Yes.
And that's what we're saying to you. We're in this thing together.
Right.
You know, we all suffer from the same condition.
Right.
We're all sinners, and we have to have Jesus in order to be able to overcome.
And Mark and I are here to share the hope that we have found in God's Word.
Amen.
The hope we haven't found in any other place.
It isn't. It's so many times we're taught that it comes from, well, you got to have your relationship with your church. Well, I think that having church and Christian family is important.
Yes.
But that doesn't save you.
Right.
My church cannot save me.
Your pastor can't save
my
you.
My pastor.
You can't save yourself.
No, we can't. There's only one Savior.
Yeah, that's Jesus Christ.
Amen. And if we can just, if we never get any further than that, that's at least a start
yes.
to your walk. If, yeah. if you understand that you have to give it to Christ. And so, you know, my plea to you is to, if maybe you're on the fence and say, well, I don't know if I want that in my life.
Well, it could be, yeah.
You know, I'm not sure if that's what I want.
Or you may not believe.
You may not.
Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for without the evidence that can never happen.
Yeah, that's very true. So, Ed, we have probably about 5 or 6 minutes. What did you want to do with that time? Do you want to start?
I don't know if we have time to start Romans 7.
So, go
maybe
ahead.
Maybe we can go back to Romans 6 a little bit.
Sure.
And
there's a lot here.
I want to look at verse 17 of Romans 6.
All right.
It says, but thanks be to our God that you were the slaves of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which you were delivered. Then being made freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. Let's go to John chapter 8.
Okay. That's the Gospel of John, right?
Yes. And Mark, could you read verses 31 through 36?
Sure. John 8. And 31, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered them, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits a sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.
Okay, this is this interaction that Jesus is having with the Jews. And he's saying, if you continue my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free.
Mm-hmm.
And what they say? We're Abraham's seed and have never been in bondage to anyone. Like, really?
Yeah, it's just in case you don't know, if you're new to the Christian walk, the Jews were actually in slavery in Israel for over 400 years.
In Egypt.
I said Israel, didn't
yeah.
I? Yeah, thank
yeah.
you. In Egypt. Yeah, that's yes. right. Very important point. Israel was in Egypt. When I say Israel, we're talking about the Israelites or the
yes,
Jewish people.
The Jewish,
so for them to make this statement is really, it's not true at
yeah.
all.
We're Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to anyone. How do you say you will make us free? So what is Jesus talking about? In verse 34, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever practices sin is the slave of sin.
And that's what we read in Romans.
Yeah.
We read that.
Therefore, if the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. It's Christ that sets us free from sin.
Yes.
That's what Romans 6 is talking about. Being baptized into his death, being raised into a new life with him. Do we have time to go to John chapter 3?
Yes, we do. Before we go there, we've got about 2 minutes. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, he's speaking of himself, yes, the truth, and the life. So when it says the truth shall make you free, we're talking about Jesus will make you free. Right. So John chapter 3.
John chapter 3, I'm going to read a few verses starting in verse 3.
Go ahead.
Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do you marvel that I say to you, you must be born again? So this born again is what we're talking about, yes, in Romans 5 and 6. And yes, we're going to be talking about it more in 7 and 8.
That'll be that's the perfect place to pick up next week, yeah, when we continue this study.
When you say be real about life, we hear you. We understand. We experience the same things you do. And yeah, Paul will be real about life in Romans 7.
Yes. I think we should look at some of the things that Paul had done as well.
Okay.
That way people can understand where he's really coming from. Right. So, you know, this has been a great study. So we need to close with a word of prayer, Ed. So if you don't mind, let's bow our heads.
Sure.
Father in heaven, we're just so grateful to be here this evening, and we're grateful for your word. And Father, we just ask that those who are listening will consider these things and consider Jesus Christ to accept him as their Savior. And Father, we're just so grateful for every gift you give us. We ask that you will be with us until we come together again. And Father, we just pray that during this new week that we will witness to others at every opportunity and that we can become more like Christ. And Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ed, thanks so much for being here. I'm glad that you were awake at the end of the study. And friends, we hope to see you next week, 7 p.m. here on New Visions Radio. And until then, if we don't meet you on the air, we hope to meet you in the air.